We are still in the Hyderabad Literary Festival, which is more than only literature. But now we come back to a poet we listened in the morning already. That means in your morning, and here it was already 12. It's about Alfred Taylor, poet from Australia, well known inside our festival. Here we have a country focus, as you noticed already. And his book, Long Time Now, might be a topic of our small talk, but before we listen to his voice, pre-recorded. You can step. Start.
When the native welfare came and took me away, even now at times I still cry inward and say, I belong to a tribe, honest and just, not a religion, we live by a must. Not in a mission, but I'd rather be hugging my mother, sitting on her warm, bended knees. We were like inmates in a prison. Speak when you're spoken to. Don't laugh. Don't cry. Do as you're told. That's it. The priests used to tell us, you know, if you ever speak in your Aboriginal tongue or speak about your Aboriginal culture, God is coming down from heaven and sending you to hell. No more you'll see your mums and dads.
He's meant a lot to a number of people in the community, but his work has also meant quite a lot to literary people. And for everyone in Australia, I think, the biggest issue for us is what's happened to the original Australians.
So right now we have on live with us Mr. Alfred Taylor and Mr. Kieran Dolan with us. It's so inspiring to look at both of them right now. Hello, sir.
Hello there, and thank you for having me on this radio interview. I feel quite honoured to be here.
Thank you, and great to be here too.
It is my honour to talk to both of you, sir. My first question was, how did you get into the Australian poetry? I think there's
in the mission, when I was taken away in the 50s and put into New Norcia Mission, and at that given time during the 50s, our government, wanted all us Aboriginal children to grow up thinking that we were British, you know. I knew more about Britain at that time growing up in the 60s than I knew of Australia.
So.
And how did you get into poetry? How did you come to poetry itself?
Well,
at the mission?
The poetry, I used to love jotting down little lines. And I really got to do it because one day this sister Angeline, she was an obese nun there, and she was teaching us at school, teaching us English, and she didn't know, she didn't know how to talk in English. And she used to look at me and call me ugly little black devil and never gonna make it in life and drink yourself to death. And that was about, what, 8, 9 o'clock. I looked up at her and I said, yes, sister, I'm going to do that. Because one thing in my young life, I loved to read and write. And one good thing about New Norcia, they had a library in the back there. And I used to like ducking off in there because I loved reading and writing. And I hated all the other subjects. But when I got in there, and I used to see the books, my little heart used to flutter when I see books. And I saw this photo on this author, of this book, and I thought to myself, God, he's the ugliest man I've ever seen. And I pointed towards him, I said, right, he's ugly, I'm ugly, we're going to be related. And I grabbed hold of his book and I sat down and I started reading his work at the ripe old age of 8 and a half, 9, and that ugly author was William Shakespeare. And he was sort of, you know, I just liked the way he wrote, and I thought, I'm going to try and write like him. I'll never do it, but it was fantastic writing.
And I really discovered poetry when I was a young boy at school, and just fell in love with the rhythm of poetry in particular, and its ability to tell a story. So yeah, that's how I came to it, and then I liked it so much that I kept studying it, and so now I teach Australian literature at university.
Wow, that is so inspiring, sir. I also wanted to ask about Aboriginal poetry and if you are into it and how it has played an important role for you as a influencer in literature.
Asking about Aboriginal poetry and how important it is to you?
Yeah, and, there's a lot of Aboriginal poetry going around, particularly back in Western Australia, in Perth. I'm involved with a group of up-and-coming poetry writers now, and when I get back over there, I'm going to give these young poets your address, and hopefully next time Hyderabad have a literary festival, we can get some more Aboriginal poets up here, or Yungar poets as they're called. Yeah, there's a lot there, but they just need that. Sorry?
Nothing, sir.
Oh.
And all across Australia, in all the different Aboriginal peoples and Torres Strait Islander peoples, there are poets, and they find they are producing powerful poetry about some of the similar subjects to what Alf has been talking about, the personal life experiences, their visions of the world, and pleas for Australia to become a fairer place in regards to Aboriginal people.
And also, I wanted to ask about the Australian bushfires. I'm so sorry to get it up, but because it's the latest thing that's happening in Australia right now, I just wanted to know, as people relating to it, how do you think Australia is coping up with that right now?
How are we coping with the bushfires?
I think it's all, they had torrential rains when I left from the city, and I think their prayers have been answered. That's like when I left, because everything was diminishing, you know, the fires were slowly coming down. The firefighters done a fantastic job, but and when I left, I saw it on telly there that, you know, that we haven't great big downfalls there. So hopefully, you know, their prayers have been answered. But apart from that, you know, they'll get up and rise again, you know.
Yes, even though this is by far the worst, I think, bushfire we've ever had in terms of the number and the scale of the problem, it's interesting that the Australian trees, in their evolution, they respond to fire quickens the seed, and so the trees will regenerate. So there is hope there as well. So yes.
So where there is a will, there is a way. Thank you so much. Mr. Kiran, I wanted to ask you about your views on your views on the literature in the current generation, and how the contemporary literature in Australia is transcending the world right now. And as a professor in literature, as you have spoken about, how do you think that the Australian literature in specifics is, putting a step forward than British literature or American literature?
Yes, well, there's a great deal of interest among young people in writing, and We have many, many students who want to study creative writing because they love reading and writing. And so we have a new generation of young writers coming through, exploring the different realities that they are facing, and coming up with new forms of expression to give voice to their understandings of the world. And so there's many young adult writers, there are young poets, young playwrights. The advent of the internet has meant that there are online journals. And in addition to that, many of these poets are not, they really are poets for the people and for their peers. And so they are very interested in performance poetry, and they join poetry clubs. And so I think it is a very lively scene. And it's great as a now old man to see the next generation coming through in this way with their creativity and their... I always think of the idealism of young people as they enter the world and say, you know, things should be done differently. So I see that happening very much.
That's true, sir. Even in India, the current generation and the future generations are really looking forward to their to the field of poetry as such, even as a career as such, just then as a passion or as a hobby. Mr. Alfred, I wanted to know more about how did you get the concept of humor into poetry? Because that is something very new. I mean, it's not new, but it's something very rare to find as such. Because poet, generally, when we say poet, it is dealt with dense or some dark episodes or very dense thinking, intellectual thinking. It's a. I think that's how they have categorized it.
How do you get humor into poetry? Poetry is often
It just comes normal, natural to me because I love humor. You know, you see the book God, the Devil, and Me. It's crazy. You know, I mean, you all heard of Elvis Presley?
Yes, sir.
Elvis Presley. Well, he comes back in 1988. It's our centenary year in Perth in Western Australia, and he buy this old Nyunga fella a bottle of wine. Elvis Presley, you know, 1988, he buys old Nyunga fella a bottle of wine. But the first Nyunga bloke said to Elvis, he said, "I've been seeing you, are you that old Sinatra?" He said, "No, you Presley, Elvis Presley. That's right, you that Presley." He said, "Look, can you buy me a smoke and a drink?" He said, "Isn't there a tapia, man?" He said, "No." He said, "That drink I want is a bottle of Penfold Port." So he sent his bodyguard downtown and bought him a red packet of Winfield's and a bottle of port and give it back to him. And before he jumped in his car, and he said, "Hey, Mr. Presley, where you going back?" He said, "Back on the Lisa Marie, that plane of his, to go back to America." And he turned around and he said to him, he said, "Pretend you didn't see me, man." Yeah, so that humor is to me is fantastic. But in my next book, God, the Devil, and Me, that is going to be, you know, I've turned the old Christian religion on its ear, because all the apostles, you heard all the apostles live up here in heaven, they're all alcoholics. And Peter, the keeper of the black pearly gates, he's an alcoholic. And Judas Iscariot, he was hung by the apostles. He didn't hang himself. And he sold Jesus for 75 pieces of silver, not 33. So I turn all the Christian religion, and I turned it on its ear, because how they treated us in Eunorsia Mission, you know, all us kids. So that was my way of fighting back at the Catholic Church. I'd like to say throwing rocks back at the church.
Wow, that was something really interesting, and I don't know what to say. I'm really looking forward to your books. I just wanted to know, just at the base, like, I'm a huge fan of Aboriginal writing as such. Aboriginal literature was booming in the for the past couple of decades in India. I mean, I have read a few Aboriginal pieces of literature. My favorite poem is The Aboriginal Man. As you have come to India, so what do you think about the Aboriginal literature that India is holding right now? Like, I think you met a few people, and where do you think that it stands right now, and what do you think we should do to get it into the high stand?
From what I've been hearing in speaking to other writers here, there is already excellent writing in other languages than English in India, and I think that in relation to Aboriginal writing in India, I would say just encouraging people, firstly, if the Australian experience is anything to go by, a literature of personal expression, you know, memoir, lyric poems about what they experience in their daily lives. I would say those things should be fostered, but also it's not just up to writers. There's also a need for the institutions of culture to to know of the importance of cultural pluralism and the respect for all the different traditions and experiences. And so that has been what we have discovered with the help of Aboriginal writers and critics in our country. And so I guess it would be similar here, if not the same.
Yes, I think cultural pluralism is very important right now, because the world is falling apart, and I think when there's cultural pluralism, we can actually unite and save ourselves. Sir, I would like you to recite a poem of your choice right now, if you will.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to leave with this next poem. It's titled God, the Devil and Me, and that is my next book, hopefully, coming out. And Megabala Books in Broome, Western Australia, they are my publishers. So I call this God, the Devil and Me. A long time ago as a child in the mission, oh, how I cried when I was told that God and the devil will always be by my side. I tried and I tried to be a good little Noongar boy, but these religious people always telling me that there's always going to be God, the devil and me. I've always longed for the bush that I see, but I keep hearing God, the devil and me. All I want is to be free, free from this mission. With my mother I want to be, but these religious people keep insisting I see God, the devil with me. When I'm in a position to get out of this mission, then I'll be free. Free from God, free from the devil. Being told as a child, all I hear, God, the devil and me. Even today as a man, I can still hear and see those terrible words, God, the devil with me. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. That was so nice of you to recite a poem for us. Now I would like to bid adieu to Mr. Kieran Dolan and Mr. Alfred Taylor. And thank you so much for having a nice chat with us. Thank you so much. It was really enlightening, and really we got to know a lot of information about Aboriginal literature and Australian literature and the culture there. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.